Let us turn again to the chapter of God's Word that we read together, Ezekiel chapter 12, and let us consider now verse 27, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Verse 27 in Ezekiel chapter 12. Son of man, behold thee of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come. And he prophesies of the times that are far off. Son of man, behold thee of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come. And he prophesies of the times that are far off. Ezekiel was given a vision, or the Lord revealed himself to him. And the direction was to take out his stuff. That's the word that's used, his property, his possessions. Take them outside as if he was going to go somewhere else. He was to do this as a sign. A sign to the Jews that they were going to move. They were going to go into captivity. They were a rebellious house. They were going against God and his commandments. And in there had been that rebellion for generations. But there was this particular, in particular in the way that they were thinking, that they weren't wanting to say Ezekiel is speaking falsely. They didn't want to say that, but they were putting it away from them for all that. They were saying, it's not going to happen soon. It's a way off in the distance. It's far away. We don't need to think about it very much just now. Perhaps they were saying, we don't need to think about it at all. It's not going to affect us in the near future. We can go on in our own ways. We can go on as we have been going. Doesn't need to bother us. And is that not how many think under the gospel? They are warned about sin and its consequences. They are warned that the wicked shall be turned into hell. Those who forget God, those who do not seek him, those who go on in their sins. Well, that may be true, people say. People who are hearing the truth. But it's not going to affect us anytime soon. It's away in the distance, in the far away distance. That's how they think. That's how people think today. That's how people think who do accept the truth of what is preached, who do accept the truth of what they find in the Bible. But we can go on in our own ways. We can go on for a long time yet. It's not going to trouble us any time soon. Well, here's a warning. It's a warning from the Word of God that people were saying that long ago, and the warnings came to fruition. They were fulfilled. And you see, the answer to the rebellious thoughts in verse 27, it comes in verse 28, what Ezekiel was told to say to the people, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. And that's how we should be treating these things. They're not going to be put off indefinitely. They might come about very soon. I'm not prophesying or trying to apply the prophecies of Scripture to what will happen by way of judgment to the nation or any part of it. I just don't know. There's enough precedent in the Word of God to make us afraid about what could happen. What could happen because of the rebellion of people in our time. Because of the rejection of the Word of God and people trying to live their own way and thinking that they can order their own future. It's all going to turn out fine. Everything will be fine. Don't worry. Everything will be fine. That's the sort of attitude that people very often express. Can we be so confident? Can we be confident? Can we be confident of a safe eternity and a safe passage into eternity if we do not seek the Lord, if we have not found mercy, if we are not on the straight, if we have not passed through the straight gate, and if we are not going along the narrow way? Can we afford to be confident about our future? Can we afford to be confident about our eternal future? Yes. When we are told to seek the Lord and to seek Him now and to seek Him while He is to be found, that's in the near future, in the immediate future. We're not to be putting it off indefinitely. Well, I have 3 points that I wish to consider. The first is the vision that that Ezekiel had, and some thoughts by way of application. I don't propose to go through all the details of what he was told. It's general lessons that I want to bring out. What apply to us in our time. They're timeless. Yes. That's one thing we should say about the Bible. It's timeless. It's not for one generation. It's for every generation. Whoever is reading it, whoever is hearing it read, they are to say, this is for our time. This is for our generation. Yes? This is for our generation. This is for my generation. This is for me. And secondly, I will say something about the response that there was to the vision, and particularly the response that we have in verse 27 in our text. And then in the third place, we will try and say something about the proper response. What response should we be making to what the Lord is saying? What response should we be making to the Word of God? Well, these 3 things. First, something about the vision. Second, the response to what the Lord is saying, the actual response. And then in the third place, what the proper response should be. Well then, what is the Lord saying to Ezekiel here, and through Ezekiel to the people of Judah? Ezekiel was living in the same sort of time as Jeremiah. Jeremiah stayed longer, he was able to stay longer in Judah. Ezekiel was taken away into captivity, though Jeremiah was brought unwillingly down to Egypt. You see, the unbelieving response to what Jeremiah was saying was, let's go down to Egypt and we'll take Jeremiah with us. But, you see, what is set before us here and what was set before Ezekiel and before the Jews is the word of the Lord. That's what you have at the beginning of the chapter. And again at verse 8 in chapter 13, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, it's there. And the word of the Lord is coming to us in the scripture. And we're to be listening. What is the Lord to say? What has he got to say to me? And that should be something that we bear in mind when we come to church, when we read the Bible at any time. What has the Lord to say to me? Me in particular. Yes, he may have something, it may be the same thing to say to somebody on the other side of the aisle, somebody behind me. There may be all sorts of particular things that the Lord is saying to various people here. Some it may be particularly by way of warning, others it may be by way of encouragement. But you see, the point just now is, the main point is, the Lord is speaking to each of us. The Bible is for us all. The Bible was for our parents. They may have long gone from the face of this world, but they were to receive the Bible as the word of the Lord. We are to receive the Bible as the word of the Lord. And the next generation, until time will be no more, until this world will be no more, each succeeding generation is to say, what is the Lord to say to us? What is the Lord to say to me? It's got authority. And that's how we should be treating the Word of God. That's how we should be treating the Bible. It has something to say to me. It has something authoritative to say to me. That's how we should feel. The Word of God, when I read it, it's speaking to me with authority. The Word of God, when I hear it read, it has something to say to me. It has authority. Now, do we feel its authority? And in particular, in connection with the various verses that I will quote from Scripture, God willing, will we treat them as having authority for ourselves? You see, what the preacher may say should have authority, because it should be based on the Word of God. Now, I shouldn't take away from that. I don't want. But what I'm trying to emphasize at the moment is what the Word of God, what the Bible particularly says, we should feel its authority. We should feel its authority. And when we record this expression of the house of Israel saying that Ezekiel's vision was sometime far, far away, we don't need to bother. We don't need to bother for a long time. You see, that is something to teach us. That is saying something to us. Are our ears open? Is our mind open to in what the Lord is saying? Have we got an open ear for what God the Lord is saying? Now you see, difficult times were to come because of their sin. And you have it in verse 18, Son of man, eat thy bread with quaking and drink thy water with trembling and with carefulness. And say unto the people of the land, thus saith the Lord God of the inhabitants of Jerusalem and of the land of Israel, they shall eat their bread with carefulness and drink their water with astonishment, that her land may be desolate from all that is therein because of the violence of all them that dwell therein. You see, judgments were to come upon Israel and Judah, Judah in particular. Israel had already been visited by God's judgments. The Assyrians had invaded the country and swept so many of them away to captivity. But they were to eat their bread with quaking. They were to be afraid. Will I have bread next week? Will I have bread tomorrow? Will I have food throughout the rest of this year? Well, it might come to that with us in this country. Again, I say, I'm not prophesying, but you see, the Lord is being provoked. How will he react? It's a warning for us. And people may say, whatever happens, I will have the Lord with me. Well, yes, if you have grace in your soul. But, you see, the people of God, however much they may have of God's presence, they will suffer when judgments come upon a country. They will suffer too. They're not going to be bypassed by the judgments. Just as Ezekiel wasn't allowed to remain in his own country, he was swept away to Babylon. He had to spend the rest, I assume, of his days by the river of Kibar. It might have been pleasant enough in some in some ways, but you see, it wasn't home. It wasn't his own place. And so, even if we would be safe for eternity, and that's the great matter, that's what should be especially exercising our minds. Have we got grace? Are we prepared for eternity? Have we got the Lord's presence? You see, still, there may be difficulties, but more particularly, we should be asking ourselves, am I prepared for eternity? Will all be well when death comes, as death will come? You see? And you see, the warning is that we're not to be saying in connection with death, it's for times that are far away, as Ezekiel's contemporaries were thinking of that. We're not to be saying, death is far, far away. I don't need to trouble myself yet. I've got plenty of time to think about these things. No. And you see, our reaction is to be, let me be prepared now. Let me be prepared so that I might live the rest of my life to the glory of God. Is that a concern for us? That we wouldn't go on in carelessness. That we wouldn't go on in the ways of sin. That we wouldn't go on rejecting the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, but that rather we would be saying, I want to live to the glory of God for however many more days, be they few or many. For however many more days I will live in this world, I want to live to the glory of God. That's how we should be thinking. Yes. And you see what the Saviour was saying. John chapter 3. He that believeth not is condemned already. He's already under condemnation. He hasn't believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. He hasn't believed in Christ as he has revealed himself. He's sinning in unbelief. He's going on in unbelief. He's going on in carelessness. He's going on in rebellion against the great God of eternity. Yes. There's condemnation upon that person because of that. Are you taking that in? If you are still an unbeliever, that you are rejecting, to go back to a word I stressed, are you still rejecting the authority of God in his word? The authority of God in relation to this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now that is authority. That wasn't spoken by Christ. In a sense it is. It's been spoken to us by the Lord Jesus Christ today. But it was originally Paul and Silas that spoke these words. Well, they come with the authority of Christ to us. Are we listening? Are we taking these things in? Well, that's the question. It's a question that we should be trying to answer. And you see, at verse 25, he says, the word, the Lord says, the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it. Yes. Well, what I'm wanting to stress is, passing into eternity. And that's what the Jews of Ezekiel's time, they should have been thinking of that too. Not just the judgments that would come upon them, that would sweep the nation away into eternity. But see the Saviour's parable about the rich farmer, when he was saying, in the spirit of our text, he was saying, I will pull down my barns and build greater. He had much goods laid up for many years, and he would take his ease, eat, drink, and make merry. God had something else to say. As God may have something else to say to people here. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Or this week thy soul shall be required of thee. Or this month, whatever it might be. You see, the desperate need we have of being prepared. We're not to go on in carelessness. We'll not go on to say, I've got plenty time. I've got plenty time. I've got much goods laid up for many years. Whatever it is, however it will be, I will be provided for. Pointing to this and that and the next thing, pensions and a house and people who will look after you. Well, whatever it might be, you see, we will die. And it might happen very much closer than we expect. This night, thy soul should be required of thee. That's how it could be. But let us go on and speak about the response more particularly, the actual response. It was along the lines of what is set before us in Isaiah 56. Tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. Tomorrow, and many a tomorrow, you see. This wasn't just about the immediate tomorrow. It's many tomorrows. Many tomorrows. That's what people are thinking of. Too often. And tomorrow will be fine. In fact, it will be better. Things can only get better. Well, are we confident of that? We may be confident. But have we a right to be confident? Yes. That's what people are expecting today, that things will get better. Things might be a little difficult just now. But if we grit our teeth somewhat and just look with hope, we need hope, so we are told. But without going into it, what is our hope to be based on? People are thinking about the difficulties in the economy, the difficulties in the National Health Service. I'm not going to spell them out just now. But you see, if they are warned about the difficulties of the present, some prominent people say, that's not what should be set before people. They need hope. Well, nobody stops to ask, where is the hope come from? And if we are to have solid grounds for hope, then the hope must come from God. He must be encouraging us. And you see, it's the wrong things that are being particularly looked for. Yes, we need food and clothing and so on. But do we really need our prosperity to go on improving, to be getting more and more prosperous as the years go by? Do we really need that? Well, let me put it this way. What we really need are spiritual blessings. That's what we really need, and that's what this generation has lost sight of. Are we keeping sight of it? This world is going to come to an end. Have we got hope in God? Are we looking to Him, not for the immediate future so much, as for eternity? Supposing things are difficult in the immediate future in our present circumstances, as we can see these going on, we might say, yes, that may well be difficult, but I will pray about it. I will look to the Lord to bless me. If only I can have this, grace in my soul. If only I can have this, a good hope that heaven will be at the end of the path I am treading. Yes, but you see, too much, that is not the case. You see how Ezekiel was warned about those who was to speak to. They're a rebellious house. They have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not. Yes, we have eyes to see. We have eyes to read the word. And we can take in, to a degree at least, the teaching of Scripture about sin and its consequences. We have ears to hear these things, but are we really taking them in? That's the big question. Are we really taking in what the Lord is saying to us? What the Lord is showing us in the Scripture. Have we really got a mind to take this in, to pay attention to it, to look for the Lord's blessing on it, to look for the Lord to bless his truth? And are we taking in the warnings? If it happened this way in Ezekiel's time, why may it not happen in this sort of way for us? Say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. The days are at hand. It's not a way down the line in the far distant future. And then again, the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. I am the Lord. I will speak. And the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall no more be prolonged. It shall no more be delayed. Yes. That's what people were telling each other and telling themselves. It's going to be delayed indefinitely. And people today are telling themselves, things are going to go on getting better. Well, if we've got the right politicians, perhaps some of them will say. No word about what God can do, and no word about what God will do, and no word about the blessing that people need for their souls. And you see, you have the same sort of thing in Isaiah 28, where people are speaking about how he made a covenant with death and with hell, they are in agreement. Of course, that's not the actual words they were using. What we have here is the implication of the way that they were thinking. We have made a covenant with death. Death, well, we'll take care of death. Death is the end. That's one of the deceptions that people are practicing on themselves today. Death is the end of everything. And then they burn the body. That makes doubly sure their thought of things that they are not going to meet the consequences of their sin in an eternity that is sure to come. Yes, oh, that we would be reading the Bible and listening to what is said about it in such a way that we would be applying the truth to our souls. That we would be applying truths like this to our souls. Yes, when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, the plague, some disease, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. The lies and the falsehood are not what they think are going to affect them. The lies and the falsehood are the true description of what they are saying to themselves. It's not these people's own description. It's the reality of the things. But you see, your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by. You see, whatever we are thinking about eternity, if we are thinking that the punishments, the sufferings of a lost eternity will pass us by, don't let us deceive ourselves. If we have not found Christ, if we have not found salvation through him, yes. You see, all these ideas are falsehoods. The devil is the great father of lies. He puts many a false thought, a deceptive thought, into people's minds. And let us be examining all these thoughts, the thoughts that go through our minds. Let us be examining them on the basis of the Word of God. That's it. On the basis of the Word of God. Yes. And if we turn to 2 Peter and chapter 3, where we are warned about scoffers saying, scoffers coming, there's plenty of them today, rejecting the Word of God, mocking the Word of God as if it had no relevance for them. They're walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Now, of course, the scoffers today, what they focus on, first of all, is there's no creation. It didn't happen that way. You see, everything has gone on since the beginning, since the Big Bang. There's a false thought, a deceiving thought. There wasn't a Big Bang. Let us go to the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You see, the idea that everything has gone on in a uniform way since there was this imagined Big Bang, it's deceiving people. It's the most dangerous thing, I believe, affecting the minds of people today. We must stick to the truth. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. We're not to let go of that. That's the truth, you see. And there's so many other things that follow on from that. You see? It's not, creation is not an isolated doctrine. It's something that has implications for the whole of life. And not least, to go back to a word I've used twice already, the authority of God in connection with Scripture, in connection with everything he says, the authority of God speaking to us about creation and about the implications of creation, that we must obey God. Yes. Now you see, there was something these scoffers were missing out of their thinking, and that was everything did not continue as they were in their time since the beginning. There was the flood. And there's this about the significance of the flood. It came as a judgment. It came to sweep everyone off the face of this world apart from Noah and his immediate family. To speak of Noah's flood today is to speak of something that could be described as a myth or a fable. It's not that. It's, again, it's the truth. And may the Lord impress on us the truthfulness of such things. Still in 2 Peter 3, this they willingly, perhaps willfully, are ignorant of. There's a lot of willfulness and unbelief. This they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Yes, there should be no more flood. We're promised that, that the world will come to an end for all that. The heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store. They are reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. There's going to be an end. There's going to be a judgment. We're all to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, to be sent either to heaven or to hell. See, what we have just now is the reaction. The reaction to the warnings. The reaction to the warnings of judgment. And whether there are judgments in this country and other countries in the immediate future, there will be a judgment. There will be a declaring of the just consequences of how people have lived in this world. The just consequences. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Yes. And we might say, as James does, the judge standeth before the door. I'm not saying that the day of judgment is round the corner, but our appearance in eternity is another matter. It may well be that as far as we are concerned, the judge is just waiting to put his hand on the handle of the door, come in and call us into eternity. And so it could be. We're not to say this is for many years into the future. It's not for now. It's for many days to come. Ezekiel, so they said, was prophesying of times that are far off. Have we got that attitude? Have we thought of the warning, the judge standeth before the Lord? And let us notice what the Lord was saying to Ezekiel, that he was to bear upon his shoulders his own staff. No, it's chapter 6 and verse 10. They shall know that I am the Lord, and that I have not said in vain that I would do this evil unto them. I have not said it in vain. I have not given this warning in vain. It's the truth. It's what will happen. Well, whatever may be true about, as I've said already, whatever may be true about judgments on the land, and no doubt we can think of judgments, though we remain in a state of considerable prosperity. But you see, the Lord has not spoken in vain about death and heaven and hell, and the consequences of sin. He has not spoken in vain. We are to take it in. We are to take it seriously. And thirdly, there should be a proper response. We are to respond properly. And you have that, the wonderful call in chapter 18 of this prophecy, where the call goes out. The call for repentance. Immediate repentance. When the Lord was saying to Ezekiel, he's saying it to us, repent and turn yourselves from all your transgression, so iniquity shall not be a ruin. Iniquity will be the ruin of everyone in this generation, unless there's repentance, unless there's individual repentance. The call is to repent, to turn round in the opposite direction. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Why will you die, sinner, if you are putting these things off to some time far away in the future? And you can see the call that Paul gave in Athens to the people of that city who were so involved in idolatry and in secular philosophy. He was pointing to the Lord in his long suffering, passing by, at least in this world, the iniquity of people of previous generations. But now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Everybody everywhere is commanded to repent. Everybody to whom the truth of Scripture reaches. And it's reaching us. It's reaching us. God is commanding us, each one of us, to repent. Are you seeking to turn from your own ways? Are you looking to the Lord to turn you from your unrighteousness and make you fit to appear before God in judgment? Yes. I was asking the question, where is hope to be found? Well, to go back to that passage in Isaiah, which spoke about making a covenant with death, but thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion, in the church of God, for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And what is that? It's Christ, the sure foundation. There's no other good foundation. These other foundations, these other assumed foundations, are lies, the deceit. But there's no falsehood, there's no lies, there's no deceit in Christ. Everything that he says is true, it's reliable, it's truthful. He's a sure foundation. He points to himself. He came into the world to save sinners. That's what you've got. Yes, a sure foundation. He can bear the weight of any number of sinners and their guilt. He can deliver them from the wrath to come, any number of them, and he will not fail any one of them. He is a sure foundation. And it goes on, he that believeth shall not make haste. Now there's to be a haste in connection with salvation. That's the whole message of our text. We're to seek the Lord with urgency. But this means something else. The one who believes will not make haste, will not have to go rushing around trying to find a sure foundation. And so it will be with sinners passing into eternity, who misused their opportunities, who neglected the call of the gospel. they will start rushing around. Where can I find salvation? You find the examples of it in the Gospels, in the words of Christ, about those who, when the door was shut, parable of the virgins, for instance, they would be crying out, Lord, Lord, open to us. They were rushing around. How could they get in? They had wasted their opportunities. Well, are we wasting our opportunities? Well, if that is the case, the danger is that we will be rushing around as we pass into eternity. Where can I find salvation? Where can I find salvation? Before it's too late. And that's what you should be asking. I've got an answer. I've given the answer. Yes. Where can you find salvation now? It's in Christ. And it's a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that he came into the world to save sinners. And then, you see, if there's true faith, if there's a leaning upon Christ as the sure foundation, then we will be justified by his grace. We will be accepted as if we never had sinned. Yes. And as Paul says to Titus, being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. See what Paul says to the Corinthians. The time is short. Chapter 7, first epistle. It remaineth that they that use this verb would not be abusing it, and paraphrasing a little. For the fashion of this world passeth away. You see, we're not to be abusing our opportunities. We're not to be abusing the good things of this world or the bad things of this world. Time is passing. We haven't got law. There's salvation to be found. Yes. We're not to be making a bad use of the world and the things of the world. We're not to be putting in the place of spiritual blessings and to be seeking these. And as we are told, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord, bless thy word. Bless the truths that were before us. May we not forget. May we remember that we do not have long in this world. And may we be anxious, even this day itself, even at this very moment, to seek the Lord and to seek salvation through Christ. Lord, may we be spiritually active. And may we hear thy call in our very hearts. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Have mercy on us, do us good, purge away our sin, give thine own blessing for time and eternity, and bless the word wherever it goes forth. May it come with power, may thy Holy Spirit apply it. Wash away our sin and make us thankful. For Jesus' sake, amen.